1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The House sends to the Senate a bill that would fund the government through September, averting a partial shutdown. CBS's Nicole Killian says President Trump had a hand in swinging Republicans to vote yes.
He endorsed this bill. He met with members of the Conservative House Freedom Caucus who don't always support these types of short-term funding bills.
The Trump administration says it's lifting its pause on military support and intelligence sharing with Ukraine after Ukrainian officials signal they'd now be open to a 30-day ceasefire with Russia if Russian officials also agree.
Russia's been easier to deal with so far than Ukraine, which is not supposed to be the way it is, but it is, and we hope to get Russia.
A break for some U.S. power customers as Ontario's premier pulls the plug on his 25% electricity surcharge. This after Doug Ford spoke with the U.S. Commerce Secretary.
With any negotiation that we have, there's a point that both parties are heated and the temperature needs to come down.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
I'm Brittany Merlot with WXCO News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WXCO website at BullFallsRadio.com. For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A report released last week from the Wisconsin National Guard shows an increase in reports of sexual assault. However, this doesn't necessarily mean that there are more assaults happening. Here's Melissa Kay with more.
The Wing report acknowledges that sexual assault is often underreported. They believe the increase in reporting shows an increase in trust of the Wing Sexual Assault Prevention and Response Program. This increase could also show a cultural shift within Wing. These changes have come about after reports more than 5 years ago showed the Guard was violating state and federal law with botched investigations and retaliation against those who spoke up. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Governor Tony Evers called for a review of Guard procedures in March of 2019. The Guard is now required to submit an annual report on sexual assault and harassment and have a public hearing on the report.
And four Wisconsin voters whose ballots were not counted in the November presidential election have initiated a class action lawsuit seeking $175,000 in damages each. Joanne Krulatz explains.
Voters were among 193 in Madison whose ballots were misplaced by the city clerk and not discovered until weeks after the election. Not counting the ballots didn't affect the result of any races. The Wisconsin Elections Commission investigated but did not determine whether the Madison clerk failed to comply with state law or abused her discretion.
And a number of U.S. Department of Agriculture workers in Wisconsin have been temporarily reinstated with questions over the legality of their firings. Last week, the Merit Systems Protection Board ordered the agency to reinstate about 6,000 probationary staff members across the country for 45 days. The workers were fired amid efforts to dramatically slash the federal workforce by the Trump administration and Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Those workers still have little clarity on job security after these 45 days. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks in Indianapolis to take on the Pacers tonight. But the Bucks organization shocked and saddened at the news that Junior Bridgman has passed away. Bridgman played for the Bucks from 1975 to 1984, then later became a successful businessman, sitting on several boards of directors and growing his own business to over 100 restaurants, Wendy's and Chili's, many in southeastern Wisconsin. Last fall, Bridgman was included as a partner in the ownership of the Bucks.
10, 12 years ago, when there was rumors of the team possibly going to this city or that city, I said, that cannot happen. The people here deserve to have a team. They've supported a team even when those years when we weren't very good. They support them now. Why would you move the team from here?
Bridgman at an event today in his home city of Louisville, witness saying he grabbed his chest, saying he might be having a heart attack. Rescuers unable to save him. Junior Bridgman was 71 years old. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer. Highs to the low 50s. And into the upper 50s and partly to mostly sunny Thursday. Near 70 Friday with showers and storms late and breezy. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
On Wednesday night, join Jeff Gress and myself, Chad Holmes, at a special time of 7 to 9 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Jeff and I will be talking high school sports. Last week, it was the Hockey State Tournament. This week, it's the Girls State Tournament and the Boys Basketball Sectionals coming up this weekend. Plus, special guests. At 7:25, we'll talk to Marshfield Boys Basketball Coach Chris Fisher as the Tigers get set for their sectional semifinal on Thursday night. Then at 8:06, it's our student athlete guest from the Wausau East Lumberjacks, senior Charlie Kalin. Lumberjacks also getting set for a sectional against New Richmond on Thursday. The Big High School Sports Show at a special time, Wednesday from 7 till 9 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Brad Schimmel says he'll be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court to support Donald Trump's agenda. Deb Kraut Miller joins us from the League of Women Voters. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who still likes to build a fort, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, great to have you with me on this beautiful Tuesday night, coming to you live from downtown Madison, broadcasting statewide here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our phone lines are open, 855-752-4842. We are a little behind on texts, but we'll get to them. Our question tonight is, if you had to be on a reality show, what reality show would you want to be on? We've had some good, and some people are chiming in with, game shows. That's fine, too. Our own Todd Michaels says match game. Conrad, is Todd just doing that, or does he love Match Game?
I think he just loves it. Or he wants
to be... He said Match Game 75, like in 1975, or is that like the number of iterations?
I have no idea what it is, to be honest.
And then we did get a text about, I think it was Anna from Madison, who wanted to know if Steve Martin and Martin Short were coming back to the Overture Center again. I don't know, but I did put in the text the calendar at the Overture Center you can check out. I don't always see the texts when I'm talking to guests. Sorry about that, Anna, but we will let you know, or we'll, Conrad, maybe you could take a memo and find out for Anna. We're nothing if not information givers. So anyway, keep those texts coming. We'll get to them. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. I don't know this guy personally, but I've heard nothing but great things about him. He is a comedian, and he joins us now on the stream, Frank Roach. Frank, hey.
Thank you for having me, Pete.
It's great to have. Listen, is it Roach? I made an assumption there.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right.
Okay, fantastic. Well, it's good to have you. Are you, how are you tonight?
Oh, doing great, man. Doing great in Chippewa Falls tonight, also Wisconsin.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because my buddy Mike Mercury put me in touch with you. He said, Pete, you got to talk to Frank. You got to have him on the show. I don't like him personally, but he's very funny. He didn't say that, Frank. So he highly recommended you, and I had a slot. I'm like, let's get to know a new comedian. So this is great. But he mentioned Chippewa Falls, but also that you were from Detroit. So can you explain that?
Yeah. So I'm from Detroit. I've been in Wisconsin for probably 12 years now, and I came because of a girl who I'm no longer with, you know?
Okay.
But while I was here, I went to nursing school and finished my RN, which was great because it was right before COVID hit. And like many comedian friends were like, oh man, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, because everyone's comedy dates dried up. Everything got canceled.
So, wow. Good timing.
Yeah. It was crazy.
One of my best friends is a nurse. He and his wife are both nurses, and I was getting all my COVID information through him. Like, what should I be doing with? So you were probably a good guy to know during COVID in Chippewa Falls. Yeah. There. So you stayed. That is it tough? Frank, being a comedian based in Chippewa Falls, I imagine you do a lot of driving.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And I'm gonna, since we can walk with this a little, I'm going to show you, like, if you can see behind
Frank is
me.
Giving me a tour of his home. I love this.
No. This is actually in my driveway. And that green son of a gun is with the license plate funny one. That is the road roller.
Oh, that's great. So I don't think this has ever happened before, Frank, on the history of Nightlight, which has only been on a little over a year, that I've gotten a tour like that and to see a comedian's car, which I'm guessing you have a lot of miles on, I would imagine.
You're funny. But it's funny you bring up Mike Mercury, because he's somebody that I really am glad I met in the last year, because normally in comedy, at my age, I figure I know everybody that I'm going to know. And then this guy came out of nowhere, and he's already become a good friend. Great guy.
Totally agree.
But did he tell you about a show, a TV series that I'm producing now?
He did not. He just kind of gave me your info, and I reached out to you. But I know I've done some research. I know you have this cool show coming out called Big Star Comedy Small Town. So I'm glad we started with the Detroit Chippewa Falls thing. I would imagine it's tied somehow to your experiences.
Well, it's kind of wild because people kept like saying they were creators of content and stuff, like online creators. And I'm like, well, what is that? And it was like people doing like TikToks and little clips and that. And I'm like, I want to make a show. And I want it to be a show that would be something that would be for people who love history, who love travel, and who love stand-up comedy. So, and I got to tell you, the first episode has already won awards on three continents, and it was filmed in Neillsville, Wisconsin.
And you filmed this?
Yeah.
Nice. So yeah. What is it, Frank? Is it like what's the form? Is it like sitcom-ish or
No. Sketch? You were talking earlier, like reality. This is more so kind of like that. So the show is set up where we find a small town and with a historic theater and a lot of history around it. And then we set up a show and we focus on all the historical sites to show people. And then we end with a show. But the way the sitcom or the way the series goes, if you're watching an episode, the first thing you see is a stand-up comedy line that pounds from the headliner. And then each segment we go from there. And every segment has a stand-up comedy line from the star, from the headliner. And for Wisconsin, we hit the Veterans Memorial, the High Ground near Neillsville. We hit the 1897 jail, which is crazy because it had 24 cells connected to a beautiful Victorian mansion. And the sheriff's wife cooked for all the 24 people, all the 24 inmates. And during the tour, the lady was like, and she didn't get paid. And we're all really upset about that still. And the star of that episode, Rocky Laporte, said, was her cooking that bad?
I love Rocky. That's great.
She did not like that. But we just did episode two in Butte, Montana. Episode three is going to be with Greg Morton from America's Got Talent. And that's going to be in Deadwood and feature like Mount Rushmore and surrounding. And then episode four, Adam Carolla.
Wow. Nice lineup. So is it hard to produce this from Chippewa Falls, Frank, or is it all about just guys you've worked with and reaching out to them?
Luckily it's the latter. It's guys I've worked with and reaching out to them. And right. Because when they're like, well, who's funding this? And I'm like, well, my nursing job. But
Frank is funding this.
Right. So, and comedy shows that I'm obviously doing. Right. So, but yeah, it's kind of exciting because it seems that people are so willing to be helpful in these small towns to set up the tours and whatnot. And now I've got that episode from Wisconsin, episode one. So I'm able to actually show people that. And then because of that episode, that's how I got Adam Carolla and everybody else.
Wow.
And no one's ever heard of Neillsville, none of these people. And I never did either before I moved, to Wisconsin. But not that that's a tourist destination, because it certainly isn't, but it's got a lot of history,
Yeah. No, it's interesting you say that, Frank, because I think all these towns, like I live in Marinette right now, which is probably smaller than where you are. And I commute every day to Green Bay typically to do the show. But even in that little town, there's this guy that went out to Hollywood and produced shows. There's this guy that got arrested in the CIA. There's this guy, like there's great history in all these towns. So I would think you would have a wealth of material there.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
And if you're into history and travel and stand-up comedy, you would dig the show. And it's like a 45-minute episode, which if it ends up on History Channel with commercials, it'd be an hour.
You know? Where can people see this, Frank?
They can't yet because okay. We have to film so many episodes before we've got an agent to help us, you know, sell it. And she works with History Channel and Netflix and everything in between. So we're not really sure where we're going to land.
Okay. Let's talk about, do you have shows coming up this week somewhere in Wisconsin?
Oh yeah.
Lay it on us, buddy. What are you playing?
I'm at Bootleggers in Amherst Junction on Thursday. And then on Friday for Mike Mercury, our friend, I'm doing Mole Lake Casino.
I know you're going to say it's in Mole Lake, but what vicinity is that in?
So I had to look it up too. Cause it looks like it's in Crandon.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's a beautiful little town. Do you like doing casinos?
That's a tricky question, man, because like this particular one I already know is good because I heard it. The shows went really well. I've got a friend who was there a couple weeks ago or at least for the last show. I don't know if it's monthly or how often, but he was there recently and he said, oh, man, you're going to love that place. Oh, but nice. I've also done casinos like in the UP where it's snowing so bad. The manager comes up to me and he's like, the opener called. He can't make it because of the snow. He's stuck. Can you do 95 minutes? And I'm like, what?
Oh, that's the worst.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, Pete, 95 minutes in front of a transient crowd. I mean, they're people that were right by the door. So they sit for a couple and then they're gone. It's like, all right. After a while, you can reuse some of the same jokes.
Oh, that's nice. I host a football fundraiser every year in Marinette that the local coach asked me to put together. I've been doing it for like 10 years since I moved to Wisconsin. And my biggest fear, and I host it, but I haven't done stand-up regularly since like the late 90s. So I can muscle through 10 minutes to open the show. But my biggest fear is two of the comics are going to call and go, it's a snowstorm. We can't get there. And then it's just me up there going, hey, see if you guys know this song, you know, whatever. Awful.
You remember... Hey,
go ahead.
Do you remember hearing somebody say, Pete, can you stretch?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Hey, Frank, I know you're an impressionist. We have about a minute and a half left. Is there, who do you do the best, would you say?
Well, you know what, man? I do Christopher Walken and Liam Neeson pretty good.
Would you be willing to share one of those with us?
Yeah. All right. I wish we had a little more time. I would have done a little bit for you with even more, but
well,
check
we'll
this
that
out.
Next, now that we're friends, Frank.
Oh, I can come
just,
back.
You're just a hop, skip and a jump away there. You're in the suburbs of Marinette over there in Chippewa Falls. I'd love to have you back. Yeah. We got about 30 seconds. So if
all right, here we go. We're going to do Christopher Walken, the one everybody likes from Saturday Night Live.
Awesome.
Guys, I got to tell you, I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell. Gene, exploring the space, I gotta have it. I gotta have that cowbell. And before we close, what I have is a particular skill set, Pete.
All right, we're going to do this again. You're coming back, Frank. I hope you had fun. It was great to meet you, and
you too.
We'll talk soon. Knock 'em dead this weekend, buddy.
Thank you, friend.
All right, Frank Roach, coming back with some clips, and I'm going to read your text, and then we'll bring in Jeff Blankenship to talk independent film. Peach Wob and Nightlight, Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Congressman Mark Pocan.
Already, people can't get appointments as easily at the VA hospitals. Already, farmers aren't getting their grants. Federal employees are losing their jobs. And this is just the real-life ramifications of what's happening.
If you can't convey the impact of these cuts, the people that are getting bad information are just going to think he's just cutting wasteful spending.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong, just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, Wausau's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I like that guy. Frank seemed like a really good guy. We'll have to have him back and we can... I got excited when I heard he did impressions, but then we kind of ran out of time. So next time we'll book him back for a little more time. We'll have him elaborate. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. So we got to catch up on some text here. Anna from Madison says, Conrad, I think you were thinking about the movie 27 Dresses.
Yes, I was.
Was that true?
Yep.
But what was that? Did I?
Because I was saying there was a Yes to the Dress movie. Oh, yes. 27 Dresses.
Oh, yeah, with Katherine Heigl.
Yep.
Right. Katherine Heigl was in a movie shot here in Madison years ago called, Side Effects. I remember meeting the filmmaker here in Madison, and Katherine Heigl was in the film and was very good. And I was like, boy, you could kind of tell she was going places. Actually, the filmmaker's name was Kathleen Moscow, and she, I think, booked Katherine Heigl in the film. And during that time, she had, maybe was on Grey's. I don't know. There was something, but she was already kind of on her way. But Anna from Madison, I read that. Chris Casper says, the real lives of radio engineers. Will the phones work today? Did the internet go down? Did a tower fall over? And then parenthetically, really happened, says Chris Casper. I'm always amazed when I come to Madison and Chris is actually here and not out on the road somewhere fixing like a cow ran over a transmitter or something. Very hardworking guy, Chris Casper. Somers was here too tonight. Did you say hi to Aaron?
Yep.
A.A. Ron?
A.A. Ron.
It's always good to see those guys. And Sage was here. Sage was working. It's always nice when you're the CEO and you're like the last one to leave or one of the last guys to leave. Not that anybody's, you know, going to give Sage a hard time about leaving early. Guy does what he wants. Kidding me? We'll snap your neck like a twig. He's the CEO, Conrad.
Yeah.
Conrad doesn't know what to say. I don't want to jump in here because I don't want him to snap my neck. Sage is a great guy. That was fun at the party. When everyone from Madison came up to Northeast Wisconsin, we all got to hang out at our Christmas party in March. Jameson from Pennsylvania. Now he's laughing. From the 814 says, I won't kill anyone, but might not know what to do with chicken liver mousse, fennel pollen, and baby octopus all at once. Crazy stuff. They do like that. Do they really? He says, getting screamed at by Gordon on TV would be a lifetime highlight reel. Do you know what you're doing? You made this octopus into octo poop, but he uses the bad word. I got to start watching more of these food shows. I had no idea there was this kind of drama happening on a nightly basis. No kidding. Thanks for the text, Jameson. Sherry from Horicon says, I never saw it. She says, Ghost Hunters, I binge every night. All right, Sherry, you'll like to know this. Todd Michaels is going to be on the show next week, and we're going to talk about someone is out there claiming proof of aliens. So you might want to, not that those are ghosts, but, you know, Todd kind of has a hobby of as a paranormal investigator. So we're going to have a fun discussion. That'll be one night next week. So you won't want to miss that, Sherry. Sherry also says, oh, I'm sorry, I already read that. Brian from Milwaukee says, The Amazing Race. Oh, I forgot about that one. Been a big fan since the start. You can learn so much about cultures, customs, and traditions as you travel all over the world. Yeah, that's a good one too. It's not like a running race. Like, you don't get winded, right?
I don't think I've actually ever seen The Amazing Race.
You need to start watching more TV, Conrad.
I'm only watching MILF Manor, and that's it, all right?
And hopefully the many spinoffs that happen. Okay, so Mike Myers, folks, he kind of, you forget about Mike Myers, but he's made some classics. Wayne's World, So I Married an Axe Murderer. He's made some really great films, and he's a really funny guy. And he was on Saturday Night Live 2 weeks in a row. And last week, he played Elon Musk in this skit where the president is berating Marco Rubio. And Musk walks in as Mike Myers, and he morphs into the Dr. Evil voice. So let's hear that now, Con.
Hi, it's me, tech support. Oh, just kidding.
Elon, I want to thank you for at least wearing a suit this time. Doesn't look great, right? Billionaire, but he shops at Joseph A. Bank. It's giving groomsman.
Good one, Donald. Good one. Glitch. Buffering. I'm back.
Never going to get used to that. Now, look, I can't have you two at each other's throats, okay? After all, I have a perfect record. Everyone who's ever worked for me has left on good terms and then gone on to write a book called The Man Who Ruined Everything. So you two need to start acting like mature adults, okay? So let's begin with Marco.
Polo.
No, Elon, I'm trying to talk to Marco.
Polo.
What is that? What's this? He keeps doing this. What's this?
Nobody knows, okay? It's his little dance. We let him do it, all right? It's his least unsettling trick.
I can't believe this is the guy you've given access to the entire government. He's not an elected official.
I know you are, but what am I?
Okay, whoa.
Company!
That's enough. If you're going to insult each other, at least make them good, okay? Something like, Elon, how do you have 20 kids, but I've never seen you with a chick? Just dudes named Donkey Dong and King, you know, stuff like that. And here, watch this. Marco, short and gay, classic. But Elon, you got to listen to me, okay? Marco is a very important part of the team, and we all need to...
Phase one of my plan is complete. Ingratiate yourself to the president and take over the media. But was taking this job a bad idea? A lot of people seem to really hate me. My Tesla stock is crashing and my personal net worth just dropped by $100 billion.
And it's important, all right? So headlines from the meeting. One, America's doing bad guy now. Two, Marco, get your budget under control. And three, Elon, stay in your lane. You're not the boss.
But I paid you $300 million.
And that's why you're the boss. So we'll get out of your office right after we say this. Live from New York, it's Saturday night!
Like, the Dr. Evil thing is kind of a visual thing, too, but I love when Mike Myers, as Musk says, glitch. Like, he's not even a real person and does the restart computer sound. Google it. It's very funny, folks. All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk some independent film and about a film festival that focuses on mental health. Really cool stuff with the festival founder and a filmmaker himself, Jeff Blankenship. That's coming up after Civic Media's news team tells you what's up. Thanks for being with me, folks. Great to have you. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Full Falls Radio, WXCO.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. UW system leaders say the Trump administration's cuts to research funding will impact their efforts to find cures for cancer. Savannah Tomei Olson has the story.
Wisconsin currently gets about $653 million in research funding from the National Institutes of Health. Just one example of what these researchers are working on. Professor Sterling Johnson is leading a study to help diagnose Alzheimer's disease years before people even have symptoms and ways to slow disease progression.
The Alzheimer's Center is providing a lot of the glue. It's helping us train the next generation of scientists who will be facing the future iterations of this disease.
Sigrid Canuti has been participating in that research at UW for 20 years.
I'm in the study because I'm a woman, and therefore I have a 50% chance, higher rate of having Alzheimer's than a man. I'm also in it because I'm a daughter of someone who had Alzheimer's, which increases my risk. I have had cognitive tests, MRIs, PET scans, spinal taps, and even an endurance test on a treadmill. I really feel like I've been honored to be a part of this. It's so big, it's so important, and it's very hopeful.
On top of that, UW System President Jay Rothman says these research cuts will harm Wisconsin's economy. Advocates say biomedical research and tech companies come to Madison because of the sophisticated research and the highly skilled researchers coming out of UW. Wisconsin is part of a lawsuit against the Trump administration fighting these cuts. Last week, a judge put the administration's plans on hold a second time, but that's only temporary.
And the Wisconsin Department of Revenue has announced the return of nearly $10 million of unclaimed property to residents. The funds include things like uncashed dividends and funds from savings accounts that residents may have forgotten about. And notices were sent out to those people. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. I was very excited to see Bong Joon-ho's new film, Mickey 17. After big wins on Oscar night 5 years ago, which saw him bring home the Best Director and Best Picture Oscar for Parasite, Joon-ho took a big swing with a big budget on Mickey 17. The film stars Robert Pattinson as Mickey, who is on his 17th life, who tries to figure out if creatures on an ice-covered planet are friends or foes. He uses an annoying voice the entire film, but the film does have a nice message. Ultimately, Mickey 17 was pretty tough to get through. James Bond passed away in 2021 in the film No Time to Die. But did you honestly think that would stop studios from making more Bond movies? Despite speculation that there would be a female Bond, multiple sources report that it is not happening and 007 will stay male and British. The search continues for who will play 007. Personally, I think it might be time for a chubby Bond who has halitosis and can't get girls. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 20s. For tomorrow, sunshine returns and warmer, highs to the low 50s. And into the upper 50s and partly to mostly sunny Thursday. Near 70 Friday with showers and storms late and breezy. Currently 40 degrees.
On Wednesday night, join Jeff Gress and myself, Chad Holmes, at a special time of 7 to 9 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show presented by K5 Construction on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Jeff and I will be talking high school sports. Last week, it was the Hockey State Tournament. This week, it's the Girls State Tournament and the Boys Basketball Sectionals coming up this weekend. Plus, special guests at 7:25, we'll talk to Marshfield boys basketball coach Chris Fisher as the Tigers get set for their sectional semifinal on Thursday night. Then at 8:06, it's our student athlete guest from the Wausau East Lumberjacks, senior Charlie Kaling. Lumberjacks also getting set for a sectional against New Richmond on Thursday. The Big High School Sports Show at a special time, Wednesday from 7 till 9 p.m. on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, our old friend Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio will be along to talk about the Protecting Justice for All conference, which will air on Civic Media, along with Trevi Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Hey, this is John Grise, also Uncle Rico, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Gonna be some sweet sounds
coming down the night shift. All right. Tomorrow night on the show, ladies and gentlemen, comedian Mary Mack will be here. Mary is going to make the popcorn pick of the week. We had Mary on a few months ago. She lives up in northern Wisconsin and somehow writes for all these animated TV shows. She's an incredible talent, very funny, and she'll be here Thursday night. Did I say tomorrow night, Conrad?
You did, yeah. Tomorrow's a little different.
Big time faux pas. We'll get to that. But that's Thursday night, folks, for the popcorn pick of the week. And then comedian, Appleton-based comedian Rob Brackenridge will be in the studio. So we got a lot. Thursday night is going to be a lot of laughs. Conrad, have you ever laughed so hard you cried?
Definitely, I have.
Okay. That wasn't really that convincing.
Did you want an example or something?
No. Just have some Kleenex ready. We're going to laugh a lot on Thursday. And then tomorrow night, we have a special episode. It's only going to be an hour long. We're coming on after political coverage. It's a shortened show, so we've chosen to celebrate the Day of the Dude, which is in honor of Jeffrey Lebowski, the movie The Big Lebowski, which happened a few days ago. But we're finally getting to our celebration. Greg Liana will be on the show tomorrow night to discuss that. He is the founder of the Meet the Parents franchise. And we've already talked to Greg, so I can say this. We thought he was going to bring Tara Reid, Bunny Lebowski, but she couldn't make it, unfortunately. So, but Greg is a lot of fun to talk to and loves that movie, and it'll be a lot of fun. That's tomorrow night from 7 to 8, just an hour of Nightlight tomorrow. Right now, I'm excited to welcome my next guest. He is a filmmaker himself and a film festival founder, and we'll talk to him about that too because his film festival has a really cool theme. He joins me now in the studio. Jeff Blankenship. Jeff, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
Thank you for making the drive into Madison from the burbs.
Yep.
Right?
But I work on the west side, so it wasn't so bad.
So you do this drive every day?
Yep.
You already drove home and then you came back?
No, I stayed.
You
stayed?
I stayed, yes. Did you get a nice hot meal?
Yeah, it was fine.
Okay.
I helped a friend with a computer problem,
so
I had plenty to do.
All right. Yeah. There you go. Well, it's great to have you here. It's nice to meet you. Do you have I assume since you're a filmmaker, you're not into reality TV, but do you have a reality TV show that if you had to be on it, you would be on it? If someone said, Jeff, you have to be on a reality TV show, which one would you pick? Not that any of them are great.
I am not a, yeah, let me think about that.
I said The Bachelor. I think you could double up in that one if you wanted, just because you'd have 20 or 30 women wanting to learn more about you.
Yeah, my wife might have a few things to say about that, but
my wife is responsible for this question tonight, so
yeah.
It's her fault.
Maybe in my younger days, the 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Wait, Conrad, is that the one you were talking about?
Yeah, that's the TLC show.
Yeah.
The Learning Channel.
You learn a lot from that.
It's very educational. What was the other show that was on the Learning Channel? Was that MILF Manor?
Yeah.
Oh, what happened to the Learning Channel? Not that you don't learn stuff, but you could take some time to think about that.
Okay.
If you want that to be your final answer, though, that's fine. But tell us a little bit about this really cool film festival you created or co-created, Jeff. I just think it's great, the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival.
Yeah, so let me clarify a couple of things about it. The festival itself was the idea and brainchild of Max Blaska that
okay.
I think you've met before.
We've had him on the show, yeah.
So Max's idea came out of his desire, and it's called Mental Health Warrior. His desire to bring awareness and outreach to mental health issues, to destigmatize these issues that people have,
right,
and try to do it through the use of art and film and music and other things. So one of his vehicles was to get the rights to a Stephen King film to produce, and he asked me to direct the film. So I was part of the film, the direction of the film. And then he wanted to use this Mental Health Warrior Film Festival to launch this film and others in the same area of concern.
Very interesting. Okay, yeah. I didn't know those two were necessarily related. So the film festival is called the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival. Have you had one?
Yes.
Okay, so you had your kind of inaugural
festival. The first one was last spring.
Okay, and you have one this year too?
There's one this year.
All right, so tell us about what's on the agenda this year.
Yeah, it's grown. Again, this is Max and Kurt primarily.
Okay.
Kind of on the periphery of the of the details of it.
Okay.
But I think he's got 30 films.
Wow.
And quite a few online submissions he's going to have. So it'll be, I think, easily twice as large as it was last year.
Plus no kidding. Plus
a streaming option as well.
Yeah. Is it on, and is it at Flicks Brewhouse?
At Flicks Brewhouse.
Oh, great venue.
It's a great venue. The films that were there last year are all top quality, top-notch films.
So you are not one of the founders?
I am not.
Oh.
I was all, not of the festival itself.
Okay.
That was Max's creative touch.
Okay.
But he used the film that I directed as kind of the anchor film for the project.
So to me, you founded...
Okay, fair enough. We'll go with that.
Well, it's either got to be that, because that's the research I did, Jeff, or it's going to be me going, what was middle school for you
we've
like?
Got nothing to, we've got nothing else to talk about.
Well, we've got stuff to talk about because you've made a lot of films. I did want to ask you, okay, so the film is The Last Rung on the Ladder.
Correct.
Tell us how that happened, because I've talked about it with Kurt before, but not from the standpoint of the director.
We're actually already talking about pre-production for the making of The Last Rung on the Ladder because the experience was simply phenomenal. Max called me one day and said, you were recommended as a director to me. I knew Max. Max and I were friends. We had worked on one small project in the past, the 48-hour project. And he said, I'm doing this project, Stephen King Dollar Baby program, and I'm rewriting the script. Would you want to direct it? And I said, sure. And the first thing I said to him, I said, Max, this sounds like a great project. I read the script that he had. I said, the first thing you need is a producer. I said, I'm not a producer. I said, I know the producer role and I can guide you, but we need a boots on the ground producer.
Nice.
And he was looking and I was kind of looking and we weren't finding a producer. And I tried to start to produce it just to get things off the ground. And that wasn't going great. I mean, again, I know what to do, but getting it done are two different things. And we were just on the edge of, because there's a time limit. You've got to create the film within a window.
Okay.
You don't have unlimited time. And he had spent a fair amount of time writing and rewriting the script. So the clock had been ticking for a long time. So I called him and I said, Max, I think we're starting to run into a little problem. We're running out of time. I said, I've got one last thing for you to try. I said, well, we've got a mutual filmmaker friend. Her name's Melanie. I said, call Melanie. I said, Melanie knows everybody. I said, she may be able to produce it or she may know somebody who can produce it. I said, that's the last thing I can think of.
Okay.
So she did. She called Melanie. Melanie happened to be driving in her car at that moment with Kurt Krause, who you know.
Yeah.
She talked up the film. She had talked to Max about the film previously. She talked it up to Kurt and convinced Kurt to do it. And within weeks, we were shooting.
Wow, nice.
Just like that.
It all just fell together.
It all came together.
So so you as a director, you've got material from Stephen King.
Yep.
That's gotta be kind of a pressure. Like Kurt has been around. He's a very talented guy as an actor. Did he have experience producing? Did you feel comfortable directing this material? I mean, that had to come with some responsibility, right?
It did. Yeah. I was very comfortable with Kurt. I mean, this thing was off the ground in 2 seconds. We're shooting these 2 days. Here's your crew. Here's your cast. I mean, well, we had picked the cast together. I had picked the location. I had a lot of these things kind of lined up.
Okay.
But he toppled the dominoes and off we went. But yeah, I read the original story that Stephen King wrote. Is from 1978 night shift series called The Last Rung on the Ladder. I read the original. And then I read Kurt and Carla S. Bryant's adaptation of the film, their script, their screenplay version of it. And I really liked it, and I started thinking about it. There were a couple of things in the story that I was rethinking, as I do.
Right.
And that's a whole story in itself, in terms of what I did on set with the story. the storyline for me was a little bit too linear. It didn't feel as Stephen King-esque as I wanted it to be. And so I did change up a sequence of events that happened from this original story to what I did in the film.
And you have license to do, like, when you get this project for a dollar, you can do whatever you want with it?
Pretty much.
Oh, that's nice. That's now, some creative freedom.
It is. Now, Max wanted to stay pretty true to the Stephen King version, but it was not a literal, it was not a literal interpretation.
Okay.
But the story is the same. It's a story about two siblings who become estranged.
We have the, I just don't mean to interrupt you, but we have the poster. I love this poster. If you're watching on the stream, it's called The Last Rung on the Ladder. We've put the poster in the stream. That is a great poster, Jeff.
Yeah.
That does Stephen King justice, I think. That's like better than a movie or big studio poster, you know.
That poster design goes, credit goes to Dave Burke.
Nice.
From Oshkosh. He's a photographer. He did a lot of our behind the scenes photography on the film.
So that's a picture?
That is a, that's actually an AI generated image.
Okay.
Now I couldn't get it to generate like that. So he knew some magic that I didn't know, but based on how I discussed it with him, I'd mock some things up and he said, here, try this. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah. That's great. So I'm sorry. I wanted people to see that though, to help get the movie out there a little bit.
So, so interpreting the story, I kind of have my own process. I've got to feel it. I've got to understand the story. And so that was the major change that I made. There was another part of it. Part of it was the length of the film, of the screenplay.
Okay.
One of them, so there's two main characters, Larry Gatlin and Kitty Gatlin. They're siblings. The characters span three phases of their life, when they're children, when they're teenagers, and then when they're adults. There was a little bit of a missing part of the story because we didn't have a lot of backstory on Kitty.
Okay.
There's just some presumption about what happened to her, but there's not enough. There wasn't enough for me to justify what she does. So kind of on the fly, when we were shooting in Land of Lakes, we established some new scenes for her as a backstory.
Oh, nice.
And those were great. We did them kind of on
the
fly.
You shot Land of Lakes?
We did.
Nice.
I used to live in that area. I lived in Green Bay.
Okay.
And it just so happens that I was friends with the owners of a hotel in Land of Lakes who had a balcony that we thought we were going to need for the shoot. And so I said, can we shoot at your hotel and use the hotel as a scene? And they said yes. So then at that point, we then shot five different scenes in Land of Lakes at the hotel in a local diner that we just took over and created a scene on the fly. In the Gateway Lodge, we did a bar scene and a scene in the hallway, all kind of improv.
That is really cool. I didn't know you shot in Land of Lakes. I remember Curtis told me about this, and he was so enthusiastic about the project. He said it was great. He talked about how great it was working with you. When you, like, I see the budget on IMDb Pro. I don't ever know if that's accurate or not, because I think people guesstimate. Regardless, whether or not it is, you have to raise money for an independent film. Was it easier to do that? And I don't know if you had anything to do with that, but you have material from Stephen King. Did that make it easier to find some funds?
What did help was certainly the name of the writer of the project and Max's goal and vision really helped, because people wanted to support his cause.
Right.
So that absolutely did help. I would say that I've talked to other filmmakers, LA-based filmmakers, tell them about the project or they've seen it, and they would estimate that our budget was 10 times what it
that's
was.
That's so great.
Based on what they saw.
When you can put it on the screen like that, that's fantastic. Yep. My guest is Jeff Blankenship. He's the director of The Last Rung on the Ladder, a short film that was made with our friend Kirk Krause too, and Max Blaska, who has been a previous guest on the show. We're talking about that, and we'll have a few more minutes with Jeff when we come back after this very short break. Do not go anywhere, folks. Help us close this down. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, Wausau's home for Up North News Radio.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically, like, hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask, like, two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Welcome back. We are doing the Madison thing tonight, folks. It's great to be in Madison tonight. I know we have a lot of great listeners here. Sherry from Horicon says, love Todd Michaels. Who doesn't, Sherry? You won't want to miss that. Todd is so much fun to talk to about paranormal stuff. It's just great. And we'll let you know what night that is. Chris Casper also says, saw her in Mineral Point and she was amazing. Conrad, help.
The girl from 27 Dresses?
Katherine Heigl? Is that who Chris was talking about?
I'll have to look it up. I'll have to go to the Google.
He saw her in Mineral Point. She could have been there on a shopping spree. You know, those stores in L.A. with all their variety, that gets old.
Yeah.
Mineral Point, they'll send you cab fare to shop there, right? Mineral Point is a beautiful town. They've got that. Have you been there? That little opera house?
Yep.
We've
done film festivals there.
Yeah. I was in a movie years ago called Aquarians, and they had a showing there, and the filmmaker invited me to go there. And I was like, when I did stand up, I used to drive through Mineral Point from Madison, like to Iowa.
Yep.
And I was like, this is such a gorgeous town. And then when I was there for that film festival, that opera house is like the most charming, beautiful little building. So love Mineral Point. That's awesome. Jeff Blankenship is my guest. We're talking about his film, The Last Rung on the Ladder, that he directed, produced by Kurt Krause, a mutual friend of ours and a guy who's been on the show several times. Jeff, I assume there's a mental health aspect to The Last Rung on the Ladder. I still have not seen it.
Oh, well, you have to see it.
Okay.
Sure. Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
Where can I see it?
It'll be down here in Madison well, I shouldn't say that. I don't know. I hope that Max will show it again at the festival.
Mental health. Yeah. Okay.
It's going to be in Green Bay this weekend.
Oh, right. At the Green Bay Film Festival. Yeah. That is a neat little film festival.
It is.
I have not been there yet, but I've talked to the festival director and some people who've had films there, and it sounds like just a really great little festival.
So we'll be showing on Saturday.
Will you be there?
I will be there.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yep. I think, do you like Q&As after films? They're fun, aren't they?
I love them.
Yeah. That's kind of what I'm doing right now to you.
Right.
And you seem like you really love talking about your stuff, and that's so great.
I do.
Yeah.
And when people ask questions, that means they're paying attention, and it's touched them at some level, and they're really interested. So I really enjoy that.
We've got some comments on the stream. Craig Anthony Knitt, who I assume you know.
I know Craig
well.
It's
a very tight-knit film community here in Wisconsin, and I love that you guys all know each other. I'm curious, which of Jeff's films is his favorite?
Well, this one, pretty much.
Okay.
There's so many parts of this film. All the films I've done, I really enjoyed. This one has a real special meaning, not only for the cause that Max is promoting, but the way the cast and crew came together. It was a flawless shoot. We shot in five cities, seven days. Cast and crew, we had children on set. We had safety issues. Everything went off without a hitch.
Nice.
It was just an incredible experience. What we accomplished, overcame, and delivered. It was just an incredible experience.
That's so great. Jeremy Thompson, also known as JB. I call him the guy behind the guy.
Yeah.
He says, nice work. Jeff, great explanation. I agree.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, JB. And then Craig also says, also is Last Rung on the Ladder playing in Green Bay on
it
Saturday.
Is.
He's leading you there. He knows.
Yeah, Craig knows me.
He wants you. He's helping you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Craig and I go way back. Craig's actually, I met Kurt Krause through the Wildwood Festival.
Oh, yeah.
That he, Craig, and Jason used to run.
That's excellent.
And Craig is the cousin of a guy I went to high school with.
Wow. I've met more people since I've been doing this show that have some connection to Craig Knitt.
Yeah.
Terry Barr, who works here at Civic Media, and all these people that he's like the most popular guy in the world, apparently.
He's out there. Yeah.
I was looking at your IMDb page, Jeff. You've done a ton of shorts. Like, you're a very prolific filmmaker.
Yeah.
Have you done a feature?
No. We are talking about possibly doing this as a feature.
Okay.
We're investigating if those rights are
attainable. Seems like it's perfect for that.
It would
right?
be awesome. I mean,
so let me ask you this. As a filmmaker, why do you always go for... Have you had a desire to do a feature, or is it just easier to shoot shorts?
Both.
Both. Okay.
The scaling up from a short to a feature is significant.
Sure.
It's not linear. So if Last Ride on the Ladder is 25 minutes, making it 50 minutes or 65 minutes is not twice the effort. It's probably 10 times the effort.
How about that? Wow.
The budget alone, every day, every shooting day, you're feeding people, the expenses become challenging. And then how many shooting days can you fit if people are working other jobs? And
yeah,
it becomes a challenge.
Have you ever had that where people just go, I can't, I have to work? Well, I would imagine that would be tough for people that, you know.
With this film, it was flawless.
Yeah.
We had shooting days in the middle of the week, and we never had anybody drop. It was perfect. But that is a challenging, yes.
Will you, let's say it plays at this festival again, or if it doesn't, will you put it on YouTube or Vimeo? Will you guys find a way for people to see it?
We have some restrictions about how it can be used.
Oh, because it's Stephen King.
Right.
That's maybe the downside, is trying to get it seen.
Correct. So it's kind of funny. You want it seen. They want it seen. So primarily festival. I don't know ultimately what the rule becomes.
Okay.
The program has been ended, so some of those restrictions might be lifted. Not sure.
Great stuff. Hey, real quick, when is the Mental Health Warrior Film Festival this year?
I believe it's either the first or second weekend in May. And I didn't have that in front of me, but it's in the beginning of May.
At Flicks Brewhouse here in Madison.
Yep.
Check it out. It focuses on mental health. It's just a great, I just love it. It's the only thing I've ever heard of like that. So,
and every film that's shown is an inspiration to the cause. It's really strong.
Outstanding. Yeah. Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank
good
you.
Luck with the film. And good luck at the festival. That's some film festivals are great. Thank you also to Frank Roach and, help me, Connor. Tim Sowers, our friend Tim Sowers. Yep. Thank you for all your texts. How could I forget Tim? We'll be back tomorrow night in shortened form. Have a great night. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO, home of the Chad Holmes Show.
Pat Kreitlow.
Coming up Wednesday morning, a preview of our live Supreme Court event, the stakes of the election in terms of education, reproductive rights, and the economy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The House passes a short-term funding bill. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
The Republicans stood together, and we had one Democrat vote with us to do the right thing, and that is to fund the government.
It now heads to the Senate. CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
Leader Thune said earlier today that he believes a majority of his members will back this continuing resolution. Senate Democrats continue to take a wait-and-see approach, and they really have been keeping mum on whether or not some of them will break ranks to back this bill.
The Trump administration lifts the pause on aid and intelligence to Ukraine after it signals that it's open to a 30-day ceasefire in the war with Russia, pending Moscow's agreement. Secretary of State Marco Rubio was involved with today's talks in Saudi Arabia.
The president's objective here is, number one, above everything else, he wants the war to end. And I think today Ukraine has taken a concrete step in that regard. We